At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expensive, cause winning's expensive. I got expensive, cause winning's expensive.
I've been getting out of work.
And welcome to this episode of Put Back Talking Down the Freight Sales, a show for closers. My name's Kevin Hill. I'm your host as always, and we are going to talk about warehousing today and sales of warehousing and technology with none other than Jeff Boot, who is the director of product over at LoadSmart, working primarily on OpenDocs, which he's been doing for years. Before the acquisition, after the acquisition, we'll talk about that a little bit and talk about the one problem that gets everybody is scheduling trucks at locations. I mean, it's like it used to be my death knell because I never wanted to do it until the last moment and it always screwed me over. So we're going to talk about how to automate that, about different locations and the whole scheduling world. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's the least sexy industry that causes the most pain. And that's what I love about it. You gotta find these niches that you really geek out over and are gonna invest the time in that are not, you know, very exciting for most people, but they're a real problem. And I love that everyone can relate to it. Like, oh my gosh, when I was booking trucks, scheduling appointments sucked. It was the worst. I hated it. And that's always really exciting for me that, okay, we've got some product market fit. We're solving a real problem.
You know, and you bring that up and it's so true, is those problems that no one wants to touch or solve or wrap their head around are the most profitable and usually the most successful. I don't know where I saw this, but, you know, someone was saying, oh, that person, you know, I know 10 rich people. They weren't in fashion. They weren't in media. They weren't in this. They're in garbage. They were in business, really dirty, grimy stuff that no one else wanted to know. And tackling scheduling is one of those that it's not dirty or grimy by any means, right? But it's complicated.
No, it's so true. I think of a company that probably has a little bit more attention now, but Plaid. Plaid is one of those softwares, the B2B software that just said, we're going to make it easier to log in and access and verify you and validate you through your bank credentials. That was a space that probably no one wanted a part of. They're like, I don't even understand the business model. Wait, who's going to pay me? And like, I'm going to go interface with this highly regulatory bank software that's older. And then they do it. And they're a billion-dollar company and Visa tries to acquire them. And, you know, you can just see, like, if you're willing to solve real problems, there's value there. And particularly, like, you know, every investor or things like that will ask, you know, what's your moat? And part of our moat is, I don't think anyone wants to get in the mud and like sell the warehouses day to day and help them through these pain points because it's just not the most sexy or exciting thing.
It's not. And the people who want to tackle it, it's not their core business.
Right.
Right. So basically they're in what they feel is a more lucrative or bigger market. And the market might not be big enough for them to put the resources in, which is a nice moat, right? Is to control the niche of a smaller market compared to transportation in general, right? Which is $800 billion. So warehousing scheduling seems small, unless you're really entrenched in there and it's a big market.
That's absolutely right. And you're exactly on it with, you know, TMSs and WMSs, much larger ticket items, huge, but also with large ticket items comes large initial investment, large staff. You know, we can do this kind of lean and mean. And yeah, you mentioned the logistics, you know, $800 billion market and all of that. I feel like I'm the only person who doesn't have that on their TAM slides, like total addressable market, truckload, $800 billion. And they're like, are you like involved in all that? I was like, no, really just this small segment, but it's the big number that everyone gets excited about to invest in.
It really is. It's funny how the numbers in transportation, because it's so fragmented, skews everything. Because once you really start looking under the hood, and I'm doing this project right now, 25,000 freight brokerages. Well, about 1,000 of those controlled 90% of all the domestic truckload freight. So how many are there? Well, there's about 1,000 or so, right? And then a lot of other smaller players out there that are doing lifestyle business, doing income, sitting at their kitchen table, brokering loads, maybe making six figures. And that's about it.
Yeah. No, and that's
a good life.
It is. And that long tail really can have a lot of value, especially like in your project, right? Everyone, I think most people could rattle off the top 10 to 20, and then you get into the 100, and then, 1,000 is pretty deep, but then there's still 24,000 people who are, or companies who are legitimately like moving freight in like a meaningful freight volume, and they need products, solutions, services, coaching, training, staffing. They're growing. And so there's opportunity there. And it's just, does anyone want to grind and go figure all that out? And the answer, I think, for you was most people know. So that's why you're doing it.
Yeah, is that exactly right? You do what no one else wants to do, and there's your moat.
We're the same boat, right? I don't think a lot of people woke up and got excited. They're like, let's replace this whole spreadsheet, email, phone call situation. Let's let's go call these warehouses who are busy, maybe not the most tech focused at this moment, because they're just trying to move the freight in and off their docks. And like, let's go call them all. Let's find solutions for them and let's help them implement it. Like, I just don't think many people want to do that. And, now we do have a few competitors in this space and one or two that have been around a little longer than us. But, I don't think there's many who want to get in there. And that's what's allowed us to get a lot of traction and keep moving quicker and quicker.
Yeah. And it is one of those. So we talk about detention, demurrage all the time. We talk about, the conditions at shipping facilities. I mean, we do that at FreightWaves on the shipper of choice. I don't think scheduling gets talked about nearly enough, because that is one of the the greatest inefficiencies in the market. And it's one of the prime drivers, I think, of detention is scheduling mishaps.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. If a warehouse doesn't know what time you're even attempting to get there, right, it starts with just, what time are you planning to get there? Because even if it's not perfect, we've got a window. We've got something to work with. And over time, we can work on how reliable, you show up for those times. But it has to start with, what time are you expecting to get there? From both sides of it, because if I'm expecting you, then I can be prepared for you. And prepared for you might mean staged product. It might mean people ready to load and unload. It might be the person at the guard shack to assign you a door quickly. It's all about just that preparation, and you can't prepare if you don't have things on your calendar. And we feel like we're kind of the first foray into that for many facilities.
It's been 2016 since I broke a load, but it was old school even then, really old school, like pen and paper and just a confusing mess at a lot of warehouses.
I wish I could tell you it changed. It's been 7 years and, look, we've done a good job. We have, we have over 3,000 warehouses on our platform now, so we're making a dent, but everyone else who's not on platforms like ours or similar, they're still using those methods you're talking about. And you can see it, right? There's nothing worse for a broker when you get a tender to load that's, 3 days out, 4 days out. And it's like, all right, we got to source this. We got to source it for a competitive price, a reliable truck. And then you really can't source till you have that appointment. And then it takes 2 days because you send the email and then you follow up and it gets lost. And then 2 days later, somebody's like, all right, we got you your appointment for tomorrow. And you're like, well, now my sourcing time's like 24 hours. I'm going to get crushed on rates because I'm scrambling and I've got to fulfill this tender I accepted. And, ultimately that comes down to, is it going to raise transportation rates for the people who delayed it? Because that cost of hire is going to go up. They might raise the price, or even worse, they drop the load and you go further down your routing guide, maybe even into the spot portal, which is going to raise that price up again in most markets. And so there's a real negative impact there.
There is. And I just remember there's one facility, there's one customer that I had. I wouldn't get tender the load until the day before. you know, it, every single week is weekly load. Wouldn't get it until 1 or 2 days, right?
Yep.
But it was shorter than the window. I had to pick up the phone and make the call to the delivery location because they were always booked up 3 or 4, 5, 6 days in advance. And I couldn't get tender the load primarily because they didn't know when they were going to finish the product. And it was just always a headache.
Right. And then you're solving problems on their side. You're like, just to let you know, you guys always tender with 2 days in advance, but the facility we're going to always has a 6-day lead time.
Yeah.
And so I have to charge you for layovers or I'm holding this in a facility because we just can't figure out these timing things that if we could just, if you could tender this to me a little bit earlier, we could pick up, then we can hit this, or you can call that facility and ask for, you know, dedicated availability just for you. But that would save everyone a ton of money. But someone's got to like highlight all those, put it together, and make a compelling reason to do it.
That they do. They do. Enter Jeff Booth into the equation. How long you been working with OpenDoc? Were you a founder of OpenDoc or early employee?
I'm not early. Probably early employee is the best way, but I probably overcredit myself. I claim step founder. You know, we got handed off and we moved through a new company. So actually here in about a couple of weeks, it'll be 4 years. And those first couple of years were with a parent company called Appointment Plus that launched the OpenDoc product and brought me and a couple other really great individuals on the product and engineering side in to kind of start building this. And it was this tiny little segment of this general appointment scheduling business. And they were scheduling for dog groomers and Costco Tire and all these things. And they had just found like a couple hundred, maybe 100 warehouses, that were interested. And they were kind of just repurposing the software to work for them. It was probably akin to like a Google Calendar or something where it's not exactly right, but there's enough pieces you could get there. And that's where we started.
Nice. That is awesome. And you're acquired by LoadSmart. When was that? Was that a year, 2 years ago?
Yeah. So actually, same thing. We just map everything to August. It makes it easier. Same thing. 2 years in August, we'll have been acquired by LoadSmart. But actually, between that, it was kind of funny. Appointment Plus got acquired by another company called DaySmart, another generic appointment scheduling company. And so, you know, our founder sold to them. And then we got there and I kind of tried to really pitch, hey, you should let us spin this out. And they're like, who are you? What are we getting into? And I was like, I promise this will be worthwhile. Let's spin this out and let us get acquired by a strategic player because I think we're a really good fit. And I said, but the thing is, I have to build a brand new product from scratch because acquiring us and trying to like cut out pieces of this product and create licensing agreements is going to be messy and no one's going to go for it. And sure enough, while we were in that process and building that first prototype, Felipe Capello from LoadSmart, CEO and co-founder, came to us and he's like, I like what you're doing. We can figure it out. And I said, great. I'll call you back in like 8 months once we've built this new thing and you have something ready to buy. And he's like, no, we'll figure it out now. I was like, we're really messy. We're really sorting a lot of things out. He's like, that's okay. We'll get through it. And so LoadSmart acquired us 2 years ago and we came over and within the first 8 months, we built a ground up new product from scratch. And that's where we started bringing on new customers to that new product and started migrating all our legacy customers over. So that's what we've been doing for the last, you know, almost 2 years.
Oh, perfect. That's perfect. Now, I want to ask you this, because we talk about this in trucking, you know, how many trucks are out there, how many carriers, how many warehouses are there? Let's just keep it simple in the U.S.
All right. This is an awesome question and one we wrestle with all the time, right? Because when you have investors or people putting money towards a product, you want to explain what your addressable market is.
And that TM.
So, right. You got to tell that them TM. The TM, which is if every warehouse is going to pay us, you know, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a year, and then there's times by how many. And so a lot of different schools of thought on this. I've looked at commercial real estate companies. I've talked to other startups who are selling to warehouses. My number is around 100,000, and it's a very convenient round number, but I do believe it's around 100,000, and I've had several other startups in the space kind of anchor to a similar number. But, you know, there'll be people out there who reference Statista or there's some Bureau of Labor Statistics and things like that that say like 20,000 to 25,000. the challenge is the definition of a warehouse.
Yes.
Is conceptual. It's not like a specific zoning requirement in the United States. And it's not, sometimes it's a building, sometimes it's a cross dock, right? It's less of a building. It feels more like a temporary building.
Or a back room.
You got it. And so I really think of it, when I say 100,000, I think of it as a dedicated facility that's, we'll call it at least, you know, 5,000 square feet. It's of some kind of substantial size, bigger than that. And it's got shipments in and out of it. And that doesn't count things that I think are users of OpenDock or potential, or the places like big box retailers. You know, I used to work at a big box retailer, and our stores essentially behaved as a warehouse. Like a Lowe's has three or four docks behind it, and they'll have staged trailers and a pretty big back room. So I don't count those in my number. I really try to think of a warehouse as, does it have a retail component? Meaning there's no direct consumers going there. And so that's sort of how I balance it. So I think the number is about 100,000, but I would love if someone could give me a list of all 100,000 and confirm or deny that, because also those are my leads. Those are who I want to sell our product to.
Yeah. I think there's a very good point. You have to define what a warehouse is, because it is conceptual. Anything can be called a warehouse, but you have to have a very specific definition of your target market warehouse, right? No retail, you know, you have trucks coming in, trucks going out, delivering that to the retail location or further downstream. And you have warehouse workers, you have some kind of system for cataloging. I think this might not be part of your definition, but somehow a third party that you're handling your customers or other people's freight, kind of like commercial trucking, right? You're handling other people's freight.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how we really think about, you know, a big component of our customer base is our 3PLs, right? And so that's how we really classify them. Do you store freight that doesn't belong to you specifically, right? You are not the shipper or ultimately receiver and final seller of that. And so we really flag that group. But yeah, it's funny. I always use warehouses, and I've really made that a generic general term of big building that receives stuff. But it's funny, especially you can tell the way tech's been sold in this industry and things like that. We'll have customers call and they're like, but will it work for a fulfillment center? I was like, oh, sorry. Yeah, you've overvalued my definition of warehouse. Fulfillment center, distribution center, whatever you want to call it. Like, if you've got things coming in and going out and people need to schedule them, we're perfect.
I know, right?
But people get that in their head. They're like, warehouse. Oh, warehouse means it's stored for at least 2 or 3 months. And where fulfillment means it's a 1 week turnaround. You know, people have different definitions. And I was like, sorry, we're not that sophisticated. Just big buildings with stuff in it that you need to schedule.
Oh, so you think there's 100,000?
I think there's 100,000 of these. And I think, you know, we have a little over 3,000 now. And so, you know, using that real easy math, convenient for me, it's like, all right, we've got 3% of the market. But the real magic for me is, from what we've looked at with a lot of other brokerages and looking at data behind it, we think about 85 to 90% of these warehouses don't have a dock scheduling solution of any kind. So it's not part of their TMS or WMS. They don't have a standalone like us or some other competitors. They just use paper, pen, phone call, email, maybe some spreadsheet there, or it's just old school. First come, first serve. We figure it out.
Yeah. A lot of times it's first in, first out. Internal systems, right? You know, the post-it notes and phone calls and emails. I think we can all agree that you shouldn't be doing that, right?
Right.
Inefficient. I don't think any of the warehouse companies benefit from building their own internal scheduling, right? Then you're talking about app fatigue, right? You're working with all these different players. And that's where the real opportunity, and we're getting to that, is to have one standardized system that as a broker I can use, the carrier can use, and the warehouse can use. And it's just one platform. It's a shared calendar, shared appointment, and having that network effect
is
key, right?
That's the dream. That's what we want to get to. And we really do believe that's where a ton of the value is. Again, we have other competitors in the space trying to do similar things, but we've really tried to be very user-friendly that allows us to kind of do that more effectively than others. We think we scale down to very small warehouses and scale up to very large enterprises because our product's just really easy to use, but it has depth and it's API focused, so we can integrate with those other systems. And we think that's a big part of our journey is just being integration friendly, knowing that there's so much nuance to what people want to do to operate their warehouse. It's hard to take that paper and pen and turn it into software. And so we try to be flexible enough to accommodate all the different things they want while still standardizing in a way that's usable for many people. But you talk about building it yourself. Look, there's really large, like Walmart built their own scheduling system. And it makes sense that they want to do that. But it's interesting. I hear a lot of feedback of like, oh man, the portal's down. We're struggling to book. And there's challenges with it. And so, I want to go to the Walmarts of the world and say, I think you could really use what we have and just integrate us nicely into your portal and take that load off. Because I think people who don't build software day to day, they think it's not that hard. It's a scheduling tool. And then you start unpacking it and then you start getting user requests and they want more. Then you got to maintain it. And I think people underestimate it. And a great example was we have a really great partner out there and they said, we've built a doc scheduler before. And I was like, oh yeah, I've seen that. That's great. Why are you still talking to us? And they're like, oh, we built it for one customer and we never want to do it again. It was the worst thing ever. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, there's just so much nuance that people don't want to acknowledge. It's a pain in the butt. We hate it. And we built one and we know how to do it. And that's the reason we'll never try to sell it, market it, or deal with it again. And we'd rather just use you as a partner. And so now they recommend us and refer us. And that's a really good indicator to me of why people don't want to get in this space, because it's harder than you think.
It is harder to think. And there's only a handful of companies out there like Walmart who have the resources to be able to go out and make those mistakes. Number one, right? Of building your own, right? Or have the scale to even leverage your vendors to use it. A lot of companies, they don't, your mission, one example right there. There are very few companies who even have the luxury of trying it and failing.
Right. Yeah. Walmart can stroke a check, right, and throw on 35, 40 product engineering people. But also you get into, okay, do those product engineering people, do they get to build what they want? Do they have to use a certain code base? Are they restricted? And it starts to get in the nature of, it's hard for them to build a tool within maybe some of their systems. And look, Walmart can accomplish anything they want, I'm sure. But is it worth their time when you can just say, hey, hand it to the Open Doc guys and don't even think about it. And if you got some feature requests, just email them over and we'll work them in. And just, why don't you be good at what you're good at and not worry about all this?
You're exactly right on that point. It sounds so simple, but it's not. And that's the reason why there's software vendors out, because no one wants to mess with building their own software for their own proprietary use, especially when it needs to be shared. Right. That you need a lot of users on that platform to really make it work. And part of, I remember this from our last conversation in the podcast that Zencastr didn't download for us. So I lost the recording a couple months back, is that your business model is the warehouses that pay for the subscription, which is an important piece, right? But you also have the user piece and getting users onto the platform, the freight brokerages, the carriers, the people who are actually scheduling, having them as users and champions to go out and basically testimonials of, hey, warehouse, you need this scheduling. This is what we use. Can you get that? It'll make life easier.
Yeah, that's such a big deal to us. And I think it's hard, right? When you're chasing revenue, you're trying to grow a business, it's hard for me to keep making this pitch of I've got to service these carriers and brokers. They're are my customers too. They're the other side of this marketplace, but they're free. And it's hard to validate that sometimes. People are like, why are you spending so much effort on this group that doesn't give you money or you can't monetize? And I'm like, well, their adoption of it is what gives warehouses confidence to buy our product and use it. And it's what gets them excited. And so we've had some of our more, outgoing broker partners actually recommend us. It probably doesn't happen to the rate I need to figure out how to get them to refer us more often, But I get all this great feedback from carriers. They're like, we love OpenDoc. It's our favorite system to use. It's the easiest. And these guys haven't even scratched the surface, because I start to say, well, now that you're booking a couple thousand appointments a month, just to let you know, we've got an API. You could schedule all this directly via your TMS, maybe even using an algorithm and no human touch. And oh, by the way, the warehouses check trucks in, they mark in and out times. I said, you can avoid some check calls, because if you're using our API, you could just start getting those updates. Truck arrived, truck's in progress, assigned a door, truck is completed, and in and out times. And so when that driver calls you, you already know what's going on, because the pickup or delivery facility told you. You already know the in and out times and if detention's going to be part of it. And I'm like, guys, you're getting value and you love us today. Wait till you figure out what else you can do with us.
I know. It's interesting. In 3% of the market, you have a lot of ways to run, don't you?
Definitely.
Which is good. You know, I mean, you're getting it up to that point where it really becomes fun.
Right. We've just got to the point where we're kind of meaningful. Like when we call, like people pick up the phone, like, hey, you know, large brokerage, you know, any of the top ones, like you guys are booking like 10 to 20,000 appointments a month with us. And it's like, oh, that's actually like a notable number to have a discussion. And certainly I'd like to be more of that, but that starts to get them excited. But when they tell us that we're just really easy to use, it goes a long way. And we even had an awesome, we closed like a nice little 10 location account, which is, you know, a good mid-market for us. And they ask like all of our customers, they say, gosh, will our carriers actually use this? And I love it. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, not only will they use it, they already have accounts registered. They book at a bunch of other locations and they love it. And you know, I say it and they're kind of like, oh gosh, is this a sales guy? And I was like, no, I'm in product. I'm not even in sales. And you could feel the internal eye roll, but they're always really nice. But then this call, one of them texted their top broker, and they text back and they said, oh, the guys over at, you know, wherever, they love OpenDoc. They said it's a no-brainer. And then all of a sudden the whole conversation changed and they bought the product because their top broker was like, yeah, that's our favorite tool to use. And it just changed everything. I said, that's why we make it easy for the carriers.
Yeah. When the carriers and the brokers, the users on the platform are really engaged, that builds value of the company for the warehouses. Going back, I just now remember this, or it kind of jogged interest, because you're the director of product, right? And that's kind of your background is product, putting these things together. But you are now, and you have been for a while, like the chief salesperson of OpenDocs for years now, right? And making that transition from product into sales.
Yeah, I feel like I'm certainly, we have a great sales leader, Nate Allen, who really makes all the things go. And we have
spokesperson.
A great sales team. So, but he's been very, very kind to allow me to be the evangelist, the spokesperson, and the kind of like eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff in a very public manner. So yeah, I've got to do this for like 3 or 4 years and I love it. Like it's one of my favorite things to do, to talk about it. And it's everything from scheduling to how we build software to the scheduling standards consortium. Like I just love being empowered to do that. And so yeah, we're going on like, you know, at the beginning, our founder initially, when I joined the team, I was like, hey, I really want to do this. But it was kind of working through that dynamic. But he took some of the initial, like when we came onto FreightWaves and What the Truck and some of those, he took a few of the initial interviews. And then finally he's like, why don't you do this? And I was so excited. And yes, now it's become kind of my thing. And I really do enjoy it.
I know you do. And you're doing a podcast now, right? With the Cadence. Let's know about the podcast.
Yeah. So we do our own podcast. We call it What's Up Doc, because we're on the Open Doc. And we just realized like a lot of our team didn't have some of the depth of logistics experience of the people we meet. And so we'd have these customer conversations with people who've ran a warehouse for 20 years, or they're running 15 yards that are, you know, a million square feet. And it was so enlightening for us. And we thought, what a cheat code if we could have heard this when we first started. And so we just started asking customers, prospects, or anyone in logistics, hey, would you want to jump on our podcast and just talk half an hour about the things we're talking about already? And We think people just like hearing about it. And we've probably done about 10 episodes. We do like one a month, one every, 4 to 6 weeks. And we'll probably try to ramp that up. But it's been great because they're conversations we're already having. And I think it shows to people who are looking to purchase us, oh, these people actually care. Like, they care enough to just keep learning and wanting to build product.
You brought up the consortium. How's that going?
Yeah, so they just actually released, I think I saw in the last like week or two, they released kind of a first wave of standards. And I forgot the term they used, but it's not specific technical requirements, more of the conceptual requirement, but really identifying like the core concepts of a schedule. You have an appointment time, you have a location, you might have a load type, equipment type, like all those really good details. And so I saw that come out and I thought it was really good. And actually on my radar is to kind of go through their document and map it to OpenDoc, because I think we're still the only company out there that has an open API that says we have the API. And so I love what the consortium's doing, but I think our API actually checks all their boxes. So when they're like, we should build APIs like this, I want to raise my hand and say, we've got it done. If everyone wants to follow our template here, we'd love to like share it out and everyone can just mimic ours, because we think we're doing what you want us to do. And so that's probably my next big public foray into trying to, show that we're leading that group. We're not part of the consortium at this time. We're trying to figure out what that involvement is, but we're really following a lot of the concepts they're laying out, and I think we're really aligned. And so I just want to be the front runner there.
You should be the front runner, and don't wait for anyone to ask you to be the front runner. Just go out there and be the front runner. That's how you do it, right?
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. And look, they're working with other people who have developed scheduling software, saying, here's kind of the standard. Can you guys make an API for this? And so that's what they're going to work towards, which is good. It'll help create kind of a standard function for everyone. But, I want to raise my hand quietly and say, well, if you don't want to build one and you're worried about all this, you could just use ours that we already have. I think we're solving your problem. My gap is get us into the warehouses. The problem isn't fragmentation of scheduling tools. It's that even with all that fragmentation, we're only 10 to 15% of the market. So even if you get us all aligned, we still have this 85% other problem. So I really am raising my hand and saying, hey, help us standardize those, but if you could just get me into the other 80%, I'll have this huge growing business that I love, but I'll also be doing everything you guys are asking for.
But when you look at the warehouse market, that is interesting. When you look at the ownership of the warehouse market, is it as fragmented as say trucking?
I feel it's really comparable. When I think about the top, and I've done a little bit of the math on this and research using Transport Topics has a nice like top 100 dry storage firms and cold storage. And I think I remember seeing, I think I did the math, and the top 100 represented about 8,000, 10,000 warehouses, something in that. And so if we think there's 100, the top 100 only 10%. And then after that, it falls off quickly. And so you get really large companies out there like DHL probably operates and impacts 400 to 500 facilities. And then you start working your way down to really large 3PLs like Americold and Metro Supply Train Group that are in the hundreds. And then outside of that group, you probably have just some large shippers like Walmart probably owns, 100 plus DCs kind of thing. And so, those are the large ones, but similar to trucking, long tail, many one and two warehouse owners out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of smaller real estate investment plays.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, it's a commercial real estate. It's a nice investment to get a warehouse. You get a tenant that pays their bills on time. Commercial real estate's a nice thing. There's people who invest and just own commercial real estate and rent it out to warehouses, and it's good business for them.
It is. It is really good. Well, Jeff, thanks for dropping by today.
Yeah,
talking about warehousing and something that I'm always interested in warehousing, because I know so little about it except how to screw up scheduling trucks.
No, we
grow that.
we've all been there on that, but I'm actually excited. On What's Up Doc, our podcast where we just talk about anything logistics. I kind of want to have you come over and tell us all about Brush Pass Research and kind of what you're doing, how you're building up broker data, and who you think would use it. And as a former broker myself, right? Like thinking, oh, you know, how would this benefit me? What could this do for me? And so we'd love to chat about that, kind of what you're building.
Yeah, definitely will. And I forgot about that you were a freight broker, or you worked at a freight brokerage, right? You're the design guy who came in, and we talked about it during our Lost episode.
Yeah, and calling me a freight broker is definitely an overstatement, but I did work at one. Yes. And so I helped on a carrier sales team and worked at Global Trans for a couple of years. So yeah, I get excited about what you're building at BrushPass.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm excited about what you're doing over at OpenDocs. And hopefully everything goes smooth and the market's really good for warehousing. So that's good news for you. And onwards and upwards.
Awesome. Thanks for the time, Kevin.
You bet. Thanks. And that will wrap it for this Put That Coffee Down. You can always like, subscribe, follow, whatever they call it these days, our channel at Put That Coffee Down, or Freightcast, where all Freight Waves podcast lives. But till then, go out and make some sales and some margin.
I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I've been getting out of work.